Well, I invite you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We kicked off 2026 in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at this passage, the first few verses, for a few weeks. And last week, we learned that God has a purpose for your life. He has a divine agenda for your life, and in the Bible, oftentimes, it's called a race. In other words, you have a race, and God has marked out a course for your life. And you and I are to run the race that God has marked out for us. I don't have to run anybody else's race. You don't have to run anybody else's race. But you have a race to run. And you have to ask yourself, how am I running that race? And here's what you understand, that race is not about you. It's about Him. And so as you're running this race called life and you're being obedient to Him, it's about Him. Well, we talked about that purpose. And today, in Hebrews chapter 12, in this passage, we turn our attention to the preparation for the race. So it's very clear in Hebrews chapter 12, you got your Bibles, I invite you to read along with me. It says in verse 1, he says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, that's those that are in Hebrews 11, that have are witness to a life of obedience. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. In this passage, he gives us some steps of preparation. So whatever your race is, whatever God has for you, and I have no idea, but as you're running your race today, there's an ongoing preparation that should be taking place, or you will never be able to run the race that God wants you to run the way he wants you to run it. You won't be able to finish the race he wants you to finish. And he says right here, it's an interesting concept of words. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders. That phrase, throw off, means to put away or to take something and put it back in its place. It can also be used of taking off clothes. And so the idea is, as you're running a race, and you guys, if you watch the Olympics, and the Winter Olympics are coming up next month, it doesn't matter what event it is, the runner, the participant, the athlete will show up in one thing, but what are they gonna do before they do whatever it is they do? They're gonna take some things off. They may show up because it's the Winter Olympics in a big coat, but before they get ready to run, they ain't gonna have much on, and it's gonna be real tight, right? They don't want anything to hinder. That's the idea that we're reading in Hebrews. Says, listen, get rid of everything, take everything off that might hinder you. And he says everything, in other words, get rid of every possible thing. There are no exceptions. And then he says this word, and it's an interesting word, because this is it. What am I taking off? He says, let us throw off everything that hinders. That word is only used one time in the New Testament. And it literally means a weight or mass. The idea was an athlete is getting ready to do his run. She's getting ready to run their race. And many times, what do? They get in shape, right? And when you get in shape, you lose weight typically. And so he says this idea of the runner, he says they're getting rid of excess weight or mass that might slow them down. But it's used in this passage here, not necessarily physical weight, but anything that would hinder us, anything that would hold us back. And so as you think about you're running your race, he says the first step of preparation is that whatever's holding you back when you should be pressing forward, get rid of it. Now, here's the interesting thing. He's not talking about sin. Because sin's going to be addressed next in the second step of preparation. He says these things may be good things. So you begin to think about your life, and you know, typically when you think about getting rid of some things, we're thinking, well, I know I'm doing this, and this is contrary to God's word, and that is sin, and I need to get rid of that. He's going to talk about that. But what he's talking about here is that you are part of a movement of Jesus followers, and whatever keeps you from going where and how God wants you to go there, he says it's got to go. Think about it. John MacArthur says the problem is not in what the weight is, but in what it does. It keeps you from running the race that God wants you to run. And so here's the thing. The scriptures tell us that there are things in our life, they're not sinful, but there are things in your life and my life that are going to keep us from running the race the way God wants us to run it. So now think about this. You know what that means? That all of us on a regular basis, because preparation is an ongoing thing. If it wasn't, I'd be an athlete. Right? I'm not going to say I'll run once. I'll walk once. But you got to do it on a regular basis. So on a regular basis, you have to go and be honest with yourself and evaluate your life and go, what's going on in my life right now in this moment that's keeping me from running the race that God wants me to run right now in this moment? See, I don't know what he's going to have you do in the future if you're here. Doesn't matter what you did in the past. The issue is what's going on right now in your life that might hinder you from running today the race he wants you to run. That's an interesting question. That kind of makes you go, John Piper puts it this way. He says, the question is not, hey, to ask about what's wrong with it. The question is, does it help me run the race? Does it help me run for Jesus? Because so many times we want to look and say, well, no, what's wrong with me doing this? And what's wrong with me doing this? And the Bible doesn't say anything about that. Yeah, but the question is that helping you run your race? See, you know what this means? It means your phone, which is a good thing, might be hindering you. Your computer, which is a good thing, it might be the TV. Thank you for the TV. But the TV might be a hindrance. Social media is a great thing, and we use it. We're on social media right in this moment. We're being broadcast on social media. You think it can be a problem? You think that people are finding their identity and their affirmation from that? Hobbies are a great thing until they're not. Your kids' activities are a great thing until they're not. Work, part of God's design, until it gets out of its place. Friends are a good thing, except for that one. You say, have you read Proverbs? He has a lot to say about friendship, and he also says a lot about things that and people you shouldn't be friends with. You got anybody in your life that's hindering you from running the race that God wants you to run? Does that make them a bad person? Not necessarily. They're just not helping you run the race. It may be a place, an attitude, an action, an association. But the key is you got to back up and ask the question, because it's not a sinful thing. It's just a thing that's ongoing in your life, and we see it all around us and all those things I mentioned, and we can go on and on with the list. Nothing wrong with any of that, but all of that could be a hindrance. I love the story of Ward Kimball, who was an animator for Disney. Years ago, when Snow White was being put together, Ward Kimball worked for 240 days on a 4.5-minute segment in Snow White. And you can go watch it. It's out there on the internet because it's not in the movie. 240 days, and it was a picture of the dwarfs making soup for Snow White, and they made a disaster of the kitchen. A funny scene. Walt Disney was alive when all of that was going on, and he liked the scene, and he said, I think it's funny. But he says it stops the flow of the film, and so he cut it. And it's not in the film. And I always thought about that story because he says, I like it, it's good, it's funny, but it stopped the flow of the movie, of the film. See, there's some things that are stopping our flow. He said, but I've invested a lot in it. It's one of my things, it's what I do. But you have to realize the impact of your life, the impact of your race will be determined in a great way by the many good things you eliminate. You thought about that? That may be why our life is not focused and it's not as impactful as it could be. I preached a message 30 years ago entitled, All of Our Tastes Are Minor. In other words, we are focusing so many times on things that they're good, they're just not great. They're things that are okay, but they hinder the flow. And so the writer says here, listen, as you run your race, and you've got a race, you know what your race is? You're running it today, I hope. He says one of the things you have to do on a regular basis, and you ask yourself, what's the last time I really sat down and go, God, what is it in my life that might be hindering me from running the race you want me to run? Well, then he goes on, he says there's a second step. He says, not only do we throw off everything that hinders, and then he goes to the second, he says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The word sin here is used all through the New Testament. It originally had the idea of a bow hunter with a bow and arrow shooting at some target and missing that target. And so God has a target. He has something he wants for his life. It's called his word. He has something he wants for your life. He said sin is anytime you miss the mark, anytime you miss the target. It would go on to be translated later to miss your purpose, to get off the path of uprightness, to get off course. And so when he says, listen, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles, that phrase easily entangles means surrounded on all sides. He says there are things in our life where you've missed the mark and they've become entangled in your life and it's on every side of your life. There's a decision that you made. There's a relationship you're in. There's something that you're doing. And he says it's entangled your life. I thought about this. 2 weeks ago, I walked out on my back porch and I walked straight into a spider web. You ever done that? That is awful. And we have a Ring camera, and I was thinking, I'm so glad that's not one that records with movement, because I would have won some money on funniest home videos. I mean, I'm in a full-fledged fight, and every time I went into a full-fledged fight, it got me some more. And it just gets all over you. All I did was step out. All you did was... And then you got all entangled in it. I didn't think it was going to go there. I remember 40 years ago, I was with Mickey Dalrymple, who was my pastor. We were in Ohio doing a revival. I can see myself at that church, and he preached from this passage. And when he talks about throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily tangles, he had this big, long rope. And he's standing on this stage and he has this rope and he's quoting this passage and he's just talking. And as he's talking about life and talking about running the race, little by little, you almost don't notice he's wrapping that rope around him. He wraps it around his throat and he wraps it around his chest and he wraps it around his arms. And then he begins to wrap this rope around his legs. And after several minutes of that, he is completely wrapped up and it gets tighter and he pulls on it and he says, this is no way to run the race. And then he runs around the stage like this. You know what it means to be entangled. You can't run the race today because you got entangled in something. And so the writer says, listen, got to go. So not only are you standing before God and say, God, what is it in my life? Some good thing that's hindering me. God, please put your finger on the thing, the sin in my life that's got to go. You know what it is. You don't even have to ask him many times. It's interesting here. Did you catch in this passage where he says, let us throw off the sin? That definite article, the definitive article there. Some scholars say that as you run your race, because your race is individual, that you have an individual sin that's different than maybe somebody else. There's general sin. There's generally missing the mark, but he says also in your life, maybe you're dealing with something very specific today. And matter of fact, it keeps on coming up. It's the one thing that keeps on entangling you. Have you thought about it? Your attitude? You see, when you have a bad attitude or you don't have the right mindset that God wants, does it entangle everything? Yeah, it's messed up your marriage. It's messed up your parenting. It's messed up your work life. It's messed up your relationships. It's messed up you're being used by God yet because it entangles everything. Pride, envy. You can't even go through life and run your race because you're looking at other people and go, I want what they want. Not only do I want what they want, I don't want them to have it. And you can't think about anything else. Greed. You get up in the morning, you're not on a purpose quest, you're on a grabbing quest. You know anybody that's wrapped up in anger today? Anybody entangled in anger? You know anybody entangled in grumbling? When's the last time you met somebody? And I want to talk to you. If you know somebody that grumbles all the time, you go, and you would say, that person grumbles all the time. I know you know people like that. But then at the same time, you say, that person's being used greatly by God. Those don't go together, do they? Because once you begin to go down that road, you're entangled in it, and everything is negative. Selfishness. Some of you are entangled in lust, and it's led to a pornography addiction. And the web is just wrapped around you. Some of you worry so much you can't function. You're in fear all the time. Some of you are in the sin of being comfortable, and so everything is about procrastination. I would do this. I would take that step of faith, but... Or maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's being lazy. The idea is that when you're standing before God, that His Word says, listen, I want this for your life. But within that, guess what? There are specific things that you may be dealing with that other people may be, it's like, man, what's the deal with that? One of the things it's talking about in this passage, I believe, and many people believe it, that the thing that's entangled many people's lives is a lack of faith. If you read the book of Hebrews, they're facing a very difficult time. And one of the things he challenges them over and over again is to have faith. Don't shrink back in fear. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says, see to it, brothers and sisters, in verse 12, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. Because God's put before you a course. He's put before you a race. If you're not running it, you've turned away from it. He says, but encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Hebrews chapter 10, it says, listen, that God's people are not people that shrink back. They're people of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, he says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Did you get that? He says, we're confident. We have expectation. He says, there is assurance. There is conviction. If you read Hebrews chapter 11, the whole chapter is about people who took action. And so what he's saying is, listen, don't fall into the trap of not living life with faith, that you ought to have a confidence in God. You ought to have an expectation that whatever God says is going to be true. Have a conviction if he said it, it's on. It doesn't matter who else disagrees. And based on that, I'm going to take action. Anything other than that, guess what, is unfaithfulness is not the race that God has for you. And so he says, let's throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Because without that, you know what's going to happen? James chapter 4 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do, in their race, I'll add that, and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. So whatever the race is that God has for you, and whatever is the sin maybe in your life that's keeping you from running the race, it's sin for you. So let me just ask you, when's the last time you just, you know, we ended last week that if you're going to run your race for God, if you're going to be a movement of Jesus followers, the first thing you had to do is be still. Be still and know that I am God. So part of this now, this preparation is being still, simply saying, God, what is it in my life that's hindering me right now? Who is it in my life that's hindering me right now? What is it in my life? God, I want to acknowledge today that this fill in the blank has entangled me. I'm wrapped up in, what is it? And I can't move, God. And everywhere I go, I'm surrounded by it. And maybe today you simply say, God, I want to throw it off. I want to keep throwing it off. So let me end with this, because this is an ongoing process. How are you going to continue to prepare to run the race? First of all, if you're going to run the race that God wants you to run, the first thing you have to do is you have to keep the end in mind. We're going to talk about that next week. But this is all about focus. But one of the things you need to keep in mind is your decisions that are contrary to the course. Adrian Rogers put it this way. We talked about sin. The sin that's got you entangled Before you get there, keep this in mind. Sin will take you farther than you want to go, will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay, and it will cost you more than you ever want to pay. And so today, as you think about what's going on in your life, you think about what the race is, God says, hey, listen, don't forget the end. Don't forget the end. First of all, don't forget the end of your sin is not, it's not good. It's going to be far worse than you think. You think it's just one decision, and now you're entangled. It was one look, and now you're trapped. And so keep the end in mind. The second thing is this. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, we read this verse. I love this verse. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the what? The course. The course of your life. He says, not only do you keep the end in mind, he says the second thing you do in constantly preparing to run is you guard your heart. In other words, you're constantly guarding your thought processes, your attitude, your actions, your associations, your passions, your desires. You all got them. Everybody in here has got an attitude. Amen? Come on. Anybody you know? Well, we won't go there. So he simply says, when he's talking about your heart, he's talking about your passions, your desires, your attitudes. He says, guard it. Because there's always something or someone, and Satan himself, who's trying to get you to think differently than God. And once you do that, your course is off path. You know why? Because everybody's got an attitude. And out of that attitude, everybody makes decisions. And out of those decisions, you have a destination. If you're off course today, don't point your finger at anybody. Just know you decided your way there. And it all started when in your heart, in your attitude, you said, I think I'll do this. So keep the end in mind. Guard your heart. Third thing is this, focus on the Word of God. Psalm 119 tells us this. How can a young person stay on the path, the course of purity, by living according to your word? He says, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So if you're making decisions out of your mindset and they're going to lead you to a destination, then you better fill your mind with the word of God. You know, last week I told you in 2026, our challenge is to pick a verse for the year. Have you done that yet? Have you thought about it? I haven't settled mine yet. I'm not on a deadline, by the way. And neither are you. But are you thinking about what would be your theme verse this year? That you're constantly going over in your head to keep you on the course that God has for you. You thought about it? Maybe a family verse. You focused on the Word of God. Fourth thing is this. Pray before you run. Pray before you run. The Lord's Prayer, when Jesus is teaching us how to pray, what does he tell us? Lead us not in what? The temptation, and deliver us from, hey, before you start running, you pray before you eat, you pray before you travel, pray before you run. Say, God, I know Satan's going to meet me on the course. I acknowledge it up front. He's going to meet me on the course. God, prepare me not to get off course. And then finally, respond with repentance immediately when you get off course. Today maybe has been a wake-up moment for you and going, I'm entangled. I'm surrounded on all sides by the good news of Scripture in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us of our sins. You know what that means? To put you back on course. Today's your day to run your race, to prepare to run his way.